love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Come on in.
Hey, you know your doorbell doesn't work.
Well, it gets stuck once in a while.
Well, I pushed and pushed and nothing happened, so I walked around the house and saw some guy in the study and decided to come back later.
He was a friend of Tom's. He's gone now.
I'm not trying to pry, but from where I stood, he looked much older. Sort of thin in the hair.
He was a lawyer who helped Tom.
He was one beautiful guy, Tom Wakefield. Guess I shouldn't be talking about him, though, should I?
Why not?
Well, he had all that trouble. Then he died.
Oh, when I met him, he was a beautiful guy.
He didn't know he was on drugs?
I knew he had tried them.
And kicked it?
I thought so. You always think you can change a man, I guess, after you marry him.
What was it? Grass? Snow? Speed? Real mainlining?
You know more about it than I did, Nancy. I didn't even know the words in those days.
Well, a lot of kids are into it today.
Kids you know?
A few. I don't go in for those kind of kids, though. I don't know. They get boring.
Maybe you kids wouldn't be so casual if you knew what it had done to Tom.
He got freaked out and died. It happens.
He didn't get freaked out, and he didn't die of them. What happened to Tom happens to a great many kids who aren't talking.
What do you mean, Kate?
Tom became impotent.
I didn't know that, Kate.
I don't talk about it. I told myself I never would, but when I hear you, Nancy, of all people, talking so casually, I want to set the record straight.
Well, I knew that it could happen, but
it happens all the time. It's what the kids don't want to hear about and don't want to admit.
Okay. Why didn't I keep my big mouth shut?
If you and I can't talk together, Nancy, who can?
Yeah, Kate. Who can? Hey, that guy I saw you with in the study, knew Tom?
He helped Tom once. Then he brought me these.
Wow, what are they?
Hold them up. See? Wooden beads.
Oh, they're fabulous.
They're hand-carved and hollow.
Oh.
Tom had a string of them made for me in the islands.
Mm.
Somehow Mr. Wolf got hold of these and thought they were mine.
But they're not?
Mm-mm. Tom had the letters of my name carved on every second bead. K-A-T-E. Each letter on a different bead, among the flowers and insects.
Mm. I don't see any letters.
That's how I know they're not mine. But the carving of the beads is identical.
Oh, they are gorgeous. And so huge. How do they make them hollow?
They carve them in halves and glue the halves together.
Oh, boy, am I with it today. What are you going to do with them?
Nothing. They don't mean anything to me.
Kate, do you think I could borrow them just for tonight? I have an absolutely dull day. I'll return them.
You can keep them, honey.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Well, I have no use for them. Take them.
Oh.
They're supposed to be lucky.
Oh, well, look at me. And you know something? You could smuggle in the crown jewels inside these wooden balls. Oh, the doorbell isn't working again. You want me to go?
It's Tony Cushing. I think he was going to drop by.
Oh, well, Kate, maybe I should go out the back way.
Oh, don't be silly. Go on, open the door. I've got to change anyhow.
Well, luck's working already. Coming. Oh. Hello, David.
Hi, Sparkfun. Is Kate home?
Yeah.
Can I come in?
Sure. Come in.
You know, this house even smells empty. It'll be a good thing when Isabel gets back.
Yeah, will.
Is Kate around?
Yeah, she's upstairs, changing.
Oh, wait. What's the jungle wear, Nancy?
You mean my beads?
Some rattlers.
Do you like them?
Not much.
Why not?
They're too big for you.
Would you like them on Kate?
I haven't seen them on Kate.
Well, I think they're super, and I'm going to wear them until my luck changes.
Look, if Kate's busy, I don't have to hang around.
No, she has a date.
That's all I want to know. I saw her earlier, but I didn't think I gave her a hard enough sell.
How much?
Oh, newspaper dinner tonight.
Oh, don't you have anyone to go with?
Well, sure. Faye and a crowd from the office.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
You don't have to hint, Sparkbutt. Mm-hmm. Would you like to come along?
Yes, I'd adore it.
Okay, there's a place with us at our table. I'll pick you up at 7, little girl.
Why did you have to say that?
Honey, I think you're a little mixed up these days. Come on, I'll drive you home.
Wait, aren't we going to wait till she came?
Nope, not if she's got a date.
You know who it's with?
I figure that's her business.
Tony Cushing.
Cushing? Is he still hanging around here?
I thought you said it was her business.
It is, strictly.
Oh, wow, are you hung up?
Not a bit, kid. Come on, Nancy. You and I are going to have a good time.
Well, can I wear my jungle beads?
Yeah, they ought to bring one of us, Buck. This is living.
Is it, Tony?
Beautiful day, leaves turning, you here. I'd have gone crazy if I hadn't been able to see you this afternoon.
You must have left the office early.
Well, yes, I walked out.
And drove all the way up here to Bellhaven for the afternoon?
And dinner. Kate, I had to see you today. Now that you've been up here for a couple of days, how do you feel about us?
Not very good.
What does that mean?
Tony, you know what it means. I like being with you.
Like?
It's what you said. It's living for me, too. But I can't get around the one fact. I can't get away from it. You're married.
Mm-hmm. And in your mind, Claire is sitting between us here in the front seat of this car.
That's just about it.
Oh, she'd love that. She'd get a real laugh out of that.
Why?
Because that's exactly where she wants to be.
She wants to be really married to you again.
Oh, hell no. She wants no part of me, but she wants to come between me and any other girl I might find.
And I'm any other girl.
Okay, now please don't go female on me.
Oh.
I had a scene with Claire this morning. She likes to hear me ask for a divorce. Gives her a sense of power.
You've asked her before.
Whenever I see her, which hasn't been very often.
I don't get it, Tony. Why would a woman want to hold on to a man unless she loved him?
Well, you tell me.
Maybe she is in love with
you. No, Kate.
How do you know?
Kate, you can turn dirty water into something so pure, and I love you for it. But don't imagine things that don't exist.
You mean don't talk about it?
Talk? Well, sure, talk all you want. I'll tell you anything you ask me, but...
Take your word for everything.
That's a crack.
No, it isn't. I'm trying to get at the truth. I've never been...
Never been what?
Well, I always thought that a girl who gets mixed up with a man who's married is only kidding herself.
She is, of course. If a guy's really married, I'm not any more than you are.
Tony, you slide away from the question.
All right. Then let's make it simple. I'm in love with you, Kate. You haven't said that you're in love with me. That's okay. But you're willing to see me. You seem happy with me.
I would be.
If I were divorced. I told Claire this morning I was getting a lawyer.
Tony, I haven't asked for that.
I know, but that's the way it is. Kate, I want you to meet my friends, the people who know me best. I don't want this thing with you under wraps. I want my friends to know you, to see the kind of girl you are. Will you meet them?
Where?
At the Bensons.
Oh.
Holly and Ned are celebrating their 15th anniversary. They'll love you. You'll like them, too.
Will your wife be there?
Damn it, she isn't... The answer is no. Now, will you come? Yes or no?
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So... I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. Ladies, good day and welcome. I am, as you well know, William Makepeace Thackeray. Dear listeners, have you read the London Chronicle this morning? Most depressing. It speaks of that fellow Napoleon on the shores of France peering hungrily through his spyglass at Britain. Well, history, I fear, is being rich in acid. Well, thankfully, I am not writing history, but Vanity Fair, and am eager to begin this day's chapter. It will take me mind off war, though my characters are not without their own battles to fight. What luck this morning. Rawdon and Becky have arrived in the breakfast room at the same time. No one else is about except a serving maid. Easy enough to be rid of her.
I say, Mary, I want two very special eggs this morning.
Yes, sir?
Boiled 11 minutes.
11, sir?
11. Miss Sharp, when last I was on maneuvers with my regiment, my eggs were accidentally overcooked. It is a new wind that, whatever that saying is, discovered I quite like hard eggs for breakfast. My man has tested them. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 minutes. 11 has proved a splendid time. Now, Mary, I charge you to time the eggs yourself. Miss Sharp and I can manage nicely without you.
11 minutes, yes, sir.
Miss Sharp, will you partake of the same?
Thank you, no, Captain Crawley. These 3-minute eggs on the sideboard suit me very well.
Nothing ventured, nothing. Go along, Mary. 11 minutes. Don't let me see you a moment sooner.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Now, I'll have some kippers. Has she gone?
Oh, yes, my darling.
Oh, Becky, dearest. 11 whole minutes together.
Yes, more. The kitchen's a long way. Oh, dear heart, how clever you were.
By Jove, I'm learning. I've had an adorable teacher.
Oh, no, you're not to kiss the teacher. Sir Pitt might come.
Or Aunt Matilda.
Oh, she won't. Giles persuaded her to take breakfast in bed. Giles is clever, too.
Pity she didn't persuade my father.
If he comes, one of us must leave. And I'm afraid it's you.
Oh.
I've important business with the baronet this morning.
No, now, damn me, no.
Oh, dearest, we agreed we daren't be seen together. Is Sir Pitt to see how you're looking at me now?
If he comes, I'll look at my kippers.
All right. Oh, I will chance it. But we'd best fill our place and be sitting innocently at table.
I'll serve. Porridge.
1 3-minute egg and kidney pie. Can you truly eat those hard ones?
For breakfast? Oh.
Ugh. Dearest, remember you're to mope about all day. Be so downcast you won't even have to ask Miss Crawley. She'll send you to London.
She might have that. She does despise gloom and bad temper, unless it's her own.
Becky! Miss Rebecca!
Oh, Sir Pitt, oh, what if you were kissing me?
I'm sorry, I'm not. And I'm not leaving this room.
Well, then sit down and look at your kippers. Good morning, Sir Pitt.
Morning, Miss Bit. You're here. You see, Miss Becky? No manners. Looks at his fish instead of his father. Puts me off. Won't have kippers myself. porridge that'll do me.
Sir Pitt, we have business together this morning.
Yeah, they're very busy this morning. Oh, very. See, two of my tenants, a second groundskeeper and county agent, then bound to go to Mudbury on county business.
You not go anywhere but upstairs, nor talk to anyone except your wife.
Another time, Miss Becky, not today.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Today. As soon as you've eaten your porridge.
You spoil me breakfast. Can't eat it now.
Then you can eat the words you said to Lady Crawley.
What the devil am I to say to her ladyship?
Oh, you know quite well what to say. The First Lady Crawley's ghost cannot and has not and will not come back to haunt her.
Papa, shall I tell you what I think of you for frightening my stepmother out of her wits?
Like I care a tinker's damn what you think.
Captain Crawley, pray, pay attention to your kippers, not to us. Sir Pitt, I'm not hungry either. We're going upstairs.
I ain't it. Hungry now.
Come along, sir. March. Good morning, Captain Crawley.
Good morning, Miss Sharp.
Ladies, I'm not prepared to say that Sir Pitt can or even wants to set poor Lady Crawley's fears to rest. What he does want is Becky's goodwill. So he'll do his best, which is not, I fear, of the highest order. That is, I think he will. Pray, linger to find out.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less? Upstairs now, Becky has ordered Sir Pitt to cool his heels outside his wife's quarters while she goes inside to prepare her ladyship.
Good morning, Lady Crawley.
Oh, Miss Rebecca, I do thank you for your kindness last night. You frightened the ghost quite away.
Forever, I'm sure.
Oh, no. You come again when you're not here. Have you come for your knitting lesson?
No, your ladyship. To tell you, Sir Pitt is waiting to see you.
Sir, but he has seen me this week.
He wants to see you again.
Oh, no, there's some mistake. He never comes more than once. It's all that duty requires.
All the same, he's here. Now, let me just tidy your hair a little.
Miss Becky, is it I've done something wrong? Is he angry with me?
Oh, he's the opposite of angry. He wants to apologize for something he did wrong.
Sir Pitt, apologize? Oh, there is a mistake. He never...
Then he's reformed. Twice in 1 week he's here and truly wants to apologize.
I don't understand.
Oh, you will. Now come along into your sitting room. Oh, come, your ladyship.
Yes, all right, but I don't want to see my husband. He frightens me most awfully. He swears terrible oaths and stamps about... Oh, please, will you implore him to come next week?
Lady Crawley, I'll be here with you. I promise he'll not swear and stamp about. Now, sit here on the sofa, and I'll go fetch him.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
I'll be outside for just a moment, and then we'll come in. Now then, Sir Pitt.
Made up my mind. Ain't going in there. You're above your station, miss, ordering me about.
Keep your voice down. Did you or did you not promise me last night?
'Twas the drink made that fool promise.
You were uncommonly sober, sir. Did you or did you not ask me to forgive your shameful lie to her ladyship?
Well, I...
And what did I answer?
I...
I just remember.
I said I'd forgive you if she forgives you. If you don't care to be in my good graces, then by all means go downstairs, be about your business. Strut round your estate like one of the peacocks. Give no thought whatever to Lady Crawley last night, so frightened by the ghost you conjured up, she hid behind the sofa. But mind you this, we've been friends, you and I. We'll be friends no longer. Well?
I'll go in, but I'll go alone.
As if I'd trust you to say anything worth hearing without me there.
Oh, you're hard, Becky, sharp, hard. Let's go and the devil take the hindmost.
Not yet. She's waiting in the sitting room. You'll sit beside her on the sofa. You'll not swear nor pace about. You'll be kind, gentle, and convincing.
Don't know how to be them things.
Well, then you'd best learn fast. Oh, dear Sir Pitt. Her ladyship is a poor, pitiful creature. Help her.
Dear Sir Pitt. Ah, Becky, why'd you not talk like that afore? Come along. I'll undo me mischief. Good morning, Lady Crawley. Where is she?
Lady Crawley.
Where the devil's she get to? Are you there in your bedchamber, Lady C?
Hush, Sir Pitt. Your ladyship, please. Will you come out now from behind the sofa?
Poor lady. Poor lady, cowering from life, afraid of everything except our Becky. Tomorrow, dear listener, Sir Pitt is put to the test. To the rack is more like it. And tomorrow I expect your company. I am, till then, your most obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Got a wonderful idea, Bob. Just wonderful.
When you start out like that, right away I know there's something that I'm not going to like about it.
Why don't we ask Maynard for dinner? Maynard Blake.
Why? I mean, what's so wonderful about that?
Be nice for him. He lives alone. It must be so lonesome since his wife died cooking his own meals. I bet he'd appreciate a home-cooked meal.
What are you trying to do? Get Aunt Maggie married to Maynard?
No. Who said anything? Who said anything about anybody getting married? Did I even mention the word marriage?
No, you didn't have to. Ah, why are women such matchmakers?
Why are men so suspicious?
It'll certainly look very suspicious to men, and I can tell you that.
Just ask him to dinner?
We've never asked him before.
He was up here this summer for a couple of cookouts.
We had several other people, too. Friends and neighbors. He knew everybody.
So?
So, now we suddenly ask him up to dinner to meet Aunt Maggie, about his same age. And I know you. You'll use the good dishes and the good silver, and we'll eat by candlelight. And he's not going to get suspicious? Well, the whole idea is ridiculous.
I don't see anything ridiculous about being invited for dinner. I see no reason at all why he should be suspicious, as you put it.
Because every man at any age, single or widower, is on his guard the minute he's paired off with a single woman of any age. Where's the back section of the paper? I've looked everywhere.
I think Aunt Maggie took it. She's copying a recipe from it out in the kitchen.
It's got the sports section.
Well, never mind it now. I asked what you thought about asking Maynard for dinner.
And I told you what I thought, which doesn't make any difference because you're determined to ask him anyhow.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I think it would please Aunt Maggie having dinner with a man.
Two men.
Who's the other one?
Me.
Oh. You know what I meant. Just the four of us having a quiet, pleasant dinner. Just a lovely, simple, quiet evening.
It certainly won't be a quiet evening. Aunt Maggie will talk his ear off. In fact, it might not be a bad idea if you dropped a hint.
Dropped a hint about what?
To Aunt Maggie, not to talk quite so much.
Oh, I can't say that, too. It hurt her feelings.
Well, I'm telling you, men don't like women who chatter and chatter endlessly the way Aunt Maggie goes on. Maynard would wish he'd stayed home eating a fried egg by himself.
Well, all right, I'll try to say something tactfully. Though I don't know how you tell anyone to shut up tactfully.
Oh, I don't know. Do what you can.
Now, don't act like that, because if it's going to be a nice evening, you've got to put your best foot forward, too. You've got to be charming and delightful, tell some funny things. The way you do at parties. When all the women tell me how killingly funny you are.
Just a minute. Why are you making such a production out of asking Maynard Blake to dinner? I mean, why are we supposed to show off?
Who said show off?
I did.
Run
away. You really want to make a match between Aunt Maggie and Maynard, don't you?
Oh, what did I say now?
Oh, I know you. You want Maynard to find us all so charming that it'd be wonderful to marry into the family. Huh? Huh? Right? Oh, listen, Peg, I read you like a book.
No.
All right, go ahead and invite him. I'll be a gracious, witty, charming host. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Settled.
All right.
So I can do the crossword puzzle in peace? Let's see now. Crossword puzzle, page 14.
Actually, I want it all to be very informal, and I thought, dear...
Hand me that pencil off the desk, please.
Yeah. Listen, I want you to ask Maynard.
Me?
Yeah.
Why? Well, just give him a call.
No, I think that sounds too planned. I think it's better if you drive down to the village store. I need some extra milk anyhow. Aunt Maggie used it up making the cake and the banana bread, and goodness knows what else today.
I'm going to weigh 500 pounds if she doesn't stop making all these...
Well, never mind that now. Drive down to the village, and when you go past Maynard, just stop and say, oh, you know, be very casual.
Well, how is that casual? I never stop and barge into his house.
He's outside raking leaves.
Oh, how do you know?
I just returned Elaine's angel food cake tin. She needed it to make a cake for the church supper. And I saw him just now, and I stopped for a second. I didn't get out of the car. I just made some comment on the foliage this year. You know how pretty everything
was. Well, why didn't you ask him for dinner then?
When you stop, he will have known we were thinking about him since I had just said hello. And the inference is that when I came home, I suggested asking him for dinner tomorrow, which actually is just what has happened. You know, it's all very simple.
Oh, boy, the way you women plot and plan. I might just well go, but don't do my crossword puzzle while I'm gone.
I won't. Now, don't mention to Maynard that Aunt Maggie's here. I mean, you know, that sometimes it scares men off, you know, just
to I'm going to say, hello, Maynard, come on up for dinner tomorrow. My Aunt Maggie is here, and Peg wants you to marry her.
You know, you'd do that, too. You
stop
boy,
worrying,
really?
Will you? Please.
Well.
To tell you the truth, I'm on your side.
Yeah, good.
Every time I want to read the newspaper, Aunt Maggie has it.
Oh.
Let's get her married. Okay,
really,
how much milk do you want from the store?
Half a gallon.
Well, I got the recipe copied out of the paper. It's for a molded salad that sounds just heavenly. Oh, you're going to the store? Get two packages of lime gelatin, a pint of heavy cream.
Heavy cream? Look, Aunt
Maggie,
I
need it for
I
the molded salad. It's the topping. I want to try it out. Oh, the crossword puzzle. I love them.
Yeah, but...
Go to the store, dear, and ask Maynard for dinner.
I'll do more than ask him. I'll beg him.
What's a river in Brazil? Five letters, Amazon doesn't fit.
Zingu.
What?
X-I-N-G-U. Listen, Aunt Maggie, Bob sort of likes doing the crossword puzzle.
I don't blame him. My eyes certainly do, too.
Well, could you put it down for a minute? I want to talk to you about something.
You go ahead and talk to her. I can hear you.
Well, I don't know if you'll come or not, but Bob and I thought we'd ask Maynard Blake down the road here, that little red house. We thought we'd ask him for dinner. Mm. Maybe tomorrow.
Well, fine. My goodness, it's your home.
Well, we thought it'd be nice for him. His wife died about a year ago, and he lives alone, gets his own meal.
Well, he'll certainly appreciate a good home-cooked meal.
I think so. I thought maybe we'd better plan the menu.
Mm, yes, now let's see.
I'm sure you'll like him. Maynard is very pleasant.
Oh, you don't need to worry about me, dear. I get along with just about everybody. I've never found anybody yet I couldn't talk to.
Well, yeah, that's sort of the point. I don't know him too well myself, but I think he's rather shy.
Well,
he's quiet, you know.
He certainly doesn't need to be shy with me.
Well,
don't you worry. I can always keep the conversation going. That's what Father always said about me. You can always depend on Maggie, he said. She manages to keep things lively.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd drive into town in the morning and get my hair done. Shall I make an appointment for you, too?
Oh, no, dear. I always do my own. Just wash it and pin it up.
Why didn't you get your hair done, you know? Go with me. Maybe have it cut and restyled.
Well, I'll think about it. What's more important right now is to plan what we'll have for dinner if that man is coming. I think I'll go upstairs and get my recipe book and look through it.
Well, since Maynard gets his own meals, I'm sure anything we have
will be fine. Well, don't worry about entertaining him. I brought some of my scrapbooks with me, and I haven't even shown you yet. I had the loveliest trip to Glacier Park last year. Just took all sorts of pictures. I went with my cousin Maud, and my goodness, we had more funny things happen to us. Maud got somebody else's suitcase by mistake. Well, she got her own back later on. But my goodness, we laughed and laughed and laughed about that. Oh, you're back.
They didn't have any heavy cream at the store.
Well, I can get some in the morning at Raymond's Market.
I'll go upstairs and get my recipe book. Oh, is this man coming to dinner?
Yes. Not tomorrow, but the next day is fine.
Well, I'll get my recipe book so we can plan the menu.
I don't know who we thought we were kidding by this casual invitation I was supposed to make while he was raking leaves.
Why?
I stopped the car, got out, chatted a few minutes about nothing, and then said, you mentioned that if I just happened to see him, would he like to come for dinner?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, he kind of smiled, and he said, I hear you've got your aunt visiting you. And I said, oh, casually, yes, uh-huh.
Well, it's a small village. I guess he was bound to know she was here.
Okay, but just don't think he isn't on to your matchmaking plans.
I am not matchmaking, and anyhow, if I were, I can assure you it won't work out. Aunt Maggie is already planning to show him her travel pictures from Glacier Park and all about the terribly funny things that happened with her cousin Maud, such as getting the wrong suitcase. And they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Well,
I don't know.
This was all your idea, kid, and now you're stuck with it.
I guess so.
Maynard comes for dinner day after tomorrow.
Well,
what's that? Who's been doing my crossword puzzle?
Oh, Aunt Maggie just started. Now, don't fuss so over little things. Honey, what do you think about persuading Aunt Maggie to cut her hair and get it, you know, maybe restyled?
Sweetheart, don't ask. Even with short hair, Aunt Maggie is going to be Aunt Maggie. You can't change a person's personality.
No, but you'd be surprised what a new hairstyle does for a woman. Yes. You know, if I can persuade her, I think you're going to be very surprised when you get home from the office tomorrow. It makes all the difference. Aunt Maggie!
I'll be happy if you just persuade her not to do my crosswords. These are all wrong. And no eraser.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden, with Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie, was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
to have, and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I'm sure Daddy will finally give in, Kurt.
Don't you think it's up to us? We're the ones getting married.
Well, I know he's getting to like you more.
You think so?
As soon as he knows what our plans are, I'm sure that he'll...
What plans?
Well, what you plan to do, where we'll be living.
Oh, I see.
I'd kind of like to work on the Jefferson Hospital newsletter, at least for a while, and it will help out.
Help out?
I'll probably get a small salary. Uh-oh. Don't tell me you object to having a wife who works.
No. No, I don't. Did you have to work?
Of course I did, silly. You think I'm as rich as Ann?
What do you mean?
I mean, Ann is the one with the money in this family. Caroline, Ann, really, I suppose.
You mean that you and your father...
That's right. Well, Caroline's first husband was a very wealthy man, and when he died, he divided his estate between Caroline and Ann.
I see.
Well, that's how Daddy met Caroline, in fact. He had been the lawyer for one of the companies Caroline's husband controlled, and in the legal business needed for the settling of the estate, he met Caroline.
Oh, God, I can't believe it. With all that planning, I'm engaged to the wrong girl.
When Caroline and Daddy married, she practically insisted that we move into River Run. And when I got my annulment from Bill, I moved back. Only temporarily, of course.
You never know. I mean, to look at you and all, an outsider couldn't tell.
You mean, which one has the money? No, I guess not. Caroline's always been sort of casual about it. And very generous. You know, she financed our trip to Europe after my annulment.
That's when we got on the wrong track.
And I think she went a little overboard, I suppose, to help me forget. When we think of it, we have her to thank for making our marriage possible. If we hadn't gone to Zurich...
That's right, isn't it? What am I going to do?
It's funny, isn't it? The way things work out.
Yes, isn't it?
Here's your warm milk, dear.
Oh, just warm milk?
Practically unadorned, Robert.
A little brandy?
No, a little vanilla. Oh, and a dash of cinnamon.
Must you take such good care of me, Caroline?
If I don't, who will?
You know, if you really had my welfare at heart, you would have pushed Curtis Rogers off the nearest glacier when he first appeared in Switzerland.
Move over, dear. You've taken your half out of the middle again.
Oh, have I?
Yes.
Oh, there we are. And nicely warmed, you'll notice.
Now, if I'd disposed of Kurt in Switzerland, I might not be here tonight, sharing your bed.
Well, one must sacrifice.
You'd consider that a fair trade?
Mm-hmm. After careful consideration, no. Perhaps there's another way to get rid of Kurt.
Oh, look, he's not that bad. And Lynn loves him. Now, don't you want her to be happy?
And do you have to throw a party for him?
It's for both of them, dear. He has to meet the family sometime.
Have you talked to Emily yet?
Yes. She seems fine. I'll call her again tomorrow.
Caroline.
Hmm?
Has Anne said anything to you about Kurt?
Not really. Why?
Oh, your daughter has a sharp eye for the phonies of this world.
Yeah, she's had to. Considering how many men are eager to marry women with money.
Now, wait a minute, my dear.
Oh, Robert, I didn't mean you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking back on it, I had to do a bit of fast talking to convince you that my money wouldn't stand in the way.
Oh. Was I that noble?
How soon they forget.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Oh, darling, how I hate to say goodnight.
No, it is getting late.
I know. Soon we won't have to.
When is the party?
A day after tomorrow. You'll be meeting the rest of the family, my brother Jason and his family.
I thought his wife wasn't well enough. Maybe we should postpone it.
Oh, that's awfully thoughtful of you. But Emily's fine now, and I know she wants to meet you. I've told her all about you.
Well, it's getting late, dear.
Darling, that is a 10-year married kiss.
I was thinking of something else.
When you were kissing me? Come on. That's better. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, darling.
Fine, then. Sleep well.
How can I? With thoughts of you.
Oh, God, what a mess. How can I go through with it? How can I get out of it? What should I tell Lisa? God, I wish you were here. I'm on my own. I've got to figure this out myself. If I marry Lynn... Oh, what do I mean, if? How can I get out of it? If it had only been Anne... If I don't marry Lynn, it's back to Zurich, and Lisa's already spent a hell of a lot of money on this.
You're certainly deep in thought.
Hmm? Anne, it's so dark here.
These trees are thick, aren't they? You know, they're almost 100 years old.
It's a beautiful estate.
A great place for a wedding.
Yes, isn't it? You think you'll be married here?
Oh, sure. Well, your cottage is over there, see it?
Oh, I thought I was heading in the right direction. Thanks. Oh, would you like to stop in for a nightcap?
Not tonight, Kurt.
Well, don't say I didn't ask you.
I won't. Good night.
Good night, Anne.
And that's where the money is. If only we had more time. I wonder how the situation is in Zurich, if Lisa's been able to bottle up René Noir. He's making us rush into the marriage before Robert Carter digs up something. This is a beautiful place. And this is the way to live. If I go back to Zurich, I can't do that. I've got to figure out what to do.
Yes? Who is it?
Anne.
Oh... Come on in.
I saw the light under the door. I knew you'd be up anyway.
You did?
Oh, I just ran into Kurt. He was walking along deep in thought.
Oh, we had just said goodnight.
He was as serious as I've seen him. Maybe he's having second thoughts about getting married.
Oh, Anne, don't say that.
Lynn, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything was wrong.
What did you mean?
Well, isn't it pretty normal to have some doubts about getting married? It doesn't mean you won't, only that... Well, that you're really thinking of what an important step it is.
Oh, that's just talk.
Oh?
Put out by the anti-marriage lobby.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yes, there is. Daddy's the president.
So, don't you think marriage is important? Serious?
Of course I do. Anne, you think too much. Why don't you just feel, live?
Is that the way Kurt is?
Oh, yes. He's one of the most spontaneous men I've ever met.
Quite different from Bill.
How can you ask?
Oh, Kurt is charming. There's no question about that. I guess you're lucky, Lynn, finding exactly the right man. Maybe I ought to go to Zurich.
Maybe you should. But there's only one Kurt.
Yes, I know.
Oh?
That's your opinion, Lynn, and I believe you.
And we're going to be married right away. Just you see.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula. To know you're the best you can be.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.